Hello, everyone. This is David Douthat.
This is Molly Douthat.
And welcome to More Than Hearing, a podcast to encourage preachers to use multiple intelligences in sermons and worship leadership, because there are plenty of ways to reach someone's soul.
Today's podcast will cover the lectionary selections for Year A, the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. Leviticus puts some meat on the bones of the Ten Commandments. Jesus tightens and defines those muscles in Matthew. Paul is concerned about the gymnasium we build to work out those muscles. Does your preaching feel flabby? Then let's get physical. We're gonna make you sweat. Well, in a theological way, of course.
We have established this podcast based on Dr. Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. Dr. Gardner suggests that there are multiple ways to learn, process, remember, and understand our world. Each week, we develop illustrations and special effects for the weekly readings of the Revised Common Lectionary that use various smarts based on Dr. Gardner's identified intelligences. We call them word smart, eye smart, math smart, body smart, music smart, nature smart, people smart, and self smart. You can read more about Dr. Gardner's work by clicking on the link at the top of our webpage.
As we read and reflect on the scripture passages for each week, we explore ways these intelligences can be utilized for a deeper appreciation of God's Word. Anytime and any way we can make use of the different smarts, we give people greater access to the Word of God so that they can acquire it, process it, and internalize it in ways that make sense to them. Let's get started.
The Old Testament lesson for the seventh Sunday of Ordinary Time in Year A is Leviticus, chapter 19. There it goes. Leviticus 19, verses 1 through 18. And here the Lord is speaking to Moses and explaining a little bit more about what's going on with several of the Ten Commandments. I don't know if it's all of them, but it's many of them anyway. So, speak to all the congregation of Israel and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then goes on to talk about revering your parents and keeping the Sabbath. And then most of the time is spent on ways that you should be in relationship with others. Now, there's a chunk in there about some sacrifice and don't eat it on the third day because that would be bad. It would be unholy and it doesn't say, but probably loaded with bacteria.
Exactly.
Anyway, then it goes on and don't steal, don't deal falsely, and leave stuff for the people who are poor, and don't defraud, and be just in your judgments, and do not hate anyone in your heart, especially your kin. And at the end of each of these, it says, I am the Lord. And so just a reminder that the reason for doing this is because the Lord is our God. And we'll get to that. Because we have several items for you here today. We have music smart, illustration, and special effect. We have nature smart, illustration, well, so halfway between illustration and special effect. People smart, special effect, and a self smart illustration and special effect. And David's going to start us off with music. Because I came up with this one. So let's see what that has to say. It's going back to that idea of the refrain that shows up after each of these commandments, that where God says, I am the Lord, or I am the Lord your God. For an illustration, that regular refrain, I am the Lord, it's like the refrain of a song or a poem. It lets you know that we've completed a thought here, or at least a sizable enough chunk that that's all you can remember for the moment.
Right.
And on we go to the refrain. So it's like any
song.
But this weekend we were on a retreat, and one of the theme songs that we were using was the old saw, "We are one in the Spirit, we're one in the Lord," and then the refrain is, "They'll know we are Christians by our love," and then different scenarios about what that looks like, and then the refrain in between. And that seems to be what's going on here, is God saying, here's the way you do it, I'm the Lord. Here's the way you do it, I am the Lord. So it goes on like that. And that might be an interesting way then, by way of special effect, to build your whole sermon that way in verses with a refrain. Now, we can't tell you what the verses or refrain will be for your sermon. You have to come up with that part. But, you know, something, be as generous as the Lord your God, something that captures that flavor.
Cool. For Nature Smart, we're looking at verses 9 and 10 about the gleanings, leaving grain and grapes in the fields. This is a practice. It's a really old practice, and it does two things. It provides a means of sustenance for those who don't have land that would support them, so they could go glean in the fields and the vineyards and receive food. And then the other thing it does is it cleans out a field or a vineyard very efficiently, because if people are out there looking for every last little grain and every last little grape, that clears out the produce for that particular year. There would not be any waste. Nothing would be left over and rotting. And then the field or the vineyard would be ready to go for the next growing season. So it's a very practical practice that has some application not only for the landowner himself to get his land ready, but also some really practical applications in generosity and taking care of people in the community that don't have land and don't have a way of feeding themselves. So that's kind of an illustration. A special effect, I went poking around on gleaning when I was online looking at this, and the United States Department of Agriculture supports gleaning efforts, especially in urban areas that are food deserts. So we have a link to a PDF from the USDA that has a lot of suggestions for ways that you can participate in gleaning projects. You can either support financially some ministries and efforts that are happening in the United States, or you can maybe partner up with some local farmers markets in your area to make sure that any produce that is not been sold goes to places that are needed, food banks particularly, because fresh produce is a real valuable and precious commodity in a food bank.
Yeah, I think our local farmers market was starting to do that.
Awesome, cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. For people smart, thinking about this block of things here that the Lord is commanding, and to get people connected with that, maybe hand out a checklist or something like a bingo card, maybe, with different ideas about how to connect these to their life during the week. So leave some good stuff for someone else, and don't lie to anyone this week. Don't swear using the Lord's name or God or even OMG for a week. Be aware of how you judge both the rich and the poor in the news. Listen to understand the case each makes. That's a little long for a bingo card block, I suppose. But, but you know, we'll, and if we get a chance, we'll put something up that you might be able to use to hand out. But just have those different items so people can have something in their hand to say, how am I doing on this week? How am I doing with following the commands of the Lord?
And then finally, for self-smart, we're looking at verses 17 through 18, where God warns the people through Moses not to take vengeance into their own hands. And that's really good advice, because doing that has a tendency to backfire. Vengeance is a really powerful thing, and we mere humans are too small and too fragile to handle that kind of power. So for an illustration of that, it made me think of the noisy cricket from Men in Black, the first movie. It's a very tiny, tiny weapon, and Will Smith's character is handed this tiny weapon. He's really offended that he's been given such a wee gun until he fires it off and shoots himself into a wall from the recoil. So it's a really tiny weapon, but it's very powerful. So revenge might be like that. It's like firing off the noisy cricket. You think it's a little thing, but wham, you're in a wall. It could also be compared to a dangerous acid. And I've got a link to a variety of really scary dangerous acids. They all must be handled really, really carefully, or it could harm the user. Some can actually even be lethal. It's really kind of terrifying. Or conversely, as an illustration, only a powerful God can handle this kind of potent stuff and knows just how much to use so as not to destroy the offender. You know, we're not cosmic chemists like God, so we kind of have to leave that up to the one that can handle this sort of power.
So it'd be just enough to correct, not to destroy.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So a special effect for this, maybe what you could do is spend some time reflecting on what would make you do some of the things that are prohibited in this passage, like keeping a grudge or judging unfairly or keeping back what you owe someone. Honestly and objectively consider, the first thing, how you feel about someone who would do such things, and secondly, what fears or insecurities might be motivating you to do such a thing. And how might the generosity of God help you overcome what comes up in these considerations?
Okay, let's go on.
The epistle lesson for Year A, Ordinary 7, is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 23. We're picking up where Paul left off last week in saying that God is the one who is in charge of the building. It's God's garden, God's building. God has also given the foundation for the building by giving us Jesus Christ. And so Paul takes that image and starts going with it. So the foundation is Jesus Christ. And so then Paul then encourages the Corinthians to consider what kind of a building they are going to erect on top of that foundation and what sort of materials they will use to do it. Will it be something that's super valuable, something that's sort of common? And to take great care in choosing that particular material, because at the end of time and the day of judgment, it will be burned away and the foundation itself will be revealed and what you built on top of that foundation. And then he kind of goes back to that whole wisdom and foolishness of people and wisdom of God, and ends up talking about everything belongs to you and you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God. So he's getting a little deeper into this whole idea of unity and who belongs. We have special effects and illustrations in four of our smarts. We have illustration special effect in eye smart, in body smart, in nature, and in people smart. And David's going to get us started off with eye.
Okay, starting with verse 16, where Paul is talking about the Corinthians being the temple, that each of you is a temple where God's Spirit dwells. Paul associates the human body with the temple here and in other passages, and we'll talk a little bit more about this in Body Smart. But what you could do is show some slides, some pictures, some imagery of different temples, shrines, cathedrals, churches, various worship spaces as your worship service is beginning. And then when you get to this point in the sermon, refer back to those images and ask the congregation to think about the connection between the architecture of those buildings and what sort of bodies they might be representing, or
a kind of experience.
Yeah. What kind of experience that they might be presenting as well through their architecture. So it's something that is tall and high and pointy and pointing toward heaven might be, you might have a more ethereal sort of experience there. Something that's domed might be like an oven and make you think of bread and food. Something that's low to the ground might be earthy and connected with the common folk. Something that's open on the sides might be, inviting to the people, for example. Whatever you come up with, think about those things. Then looking at verse 12 and following, where Paul is talking about the foundation and the different building materials, bring in small samples of stone, metal, wood, hay, straw, and submit them to fire.
Woohoo! Let's burn those things.
Yeah. So use a candle or a lighter or a small torch and try to light each of the samples. Now, you want to take all due precautions here. Make sure that you're working on a fireproof surface and that you have fire extinguishers handy and people who know how to use them. And you do this at your own risk. If you do it, if you follow our fool ideas, then it's up to you. We take no responsibility for any accidents or injuries, but we do think it could be fun. So assuming that it works out You know. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to do these, make sure you have a safe environment. And
or you could do them ahead of time.
Yes.
Yes. Record yourself doing them and then present them as edited and, you know, cut out the part where the fire department had to come.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So for Body Smart, we're still looking at this idea of the people themselves being God's temple. And I went and I looked online because it made me think of the mind-body connection for some reason. So I went and I Googled mind-body connection, and I came across an article written by a man named Mel Schwartz at Psychology Today. And this is a quote, so this is a way of looking at this. Although the notion of a mind-body connection is a far cry from traditional medicine, which views the mind and the body in a dualistic dichotomy, it doesn't go quite far enough, he opines. He says, mind and body appear to be simply differing aspects of the same whole. As the head and tail of a coin are not separate but differential points of the same coin, mind and body are thoroughly entwined and inseparable. Where one leaves off and the other starts is a consideration rooted in the outdated belief of cause and effect, which is an intriguing idea that we tend to think, oh, you know, something's wrong with your head, so it's going to affect your body, or something's wrong with your body, so it's going to affect your head. And he's saying, no, no, they're all connected. It's all connected, which is kind of what Paul is getting at here, that there is this connection between individual believers and God and individual believers and one another. So if a connection is, so here's a special effect. If the connection is simply different facets of a person's entire being, maybe it's not too difficult to go a little further down that road and suggest that each person is connected to or a part of a larger whole of God's creation. And so going back to that idea of temples again, encourage everybody in the congregation to design what type of a temple they are. Consider their own foundations, their walls, windows, ceilings, roofs, interior, exterior, building use, etc., and think of it in terms of their own body. So if they're a tall steeple-type place, hold their hands over their head. If they're a domed roof, round their backs. If they are something that is kind of open to experiences, maybe sort of stand in a way that has their arms and their legs extended so that there's a welcoming space. So have them think about what kind of a temple they are for God's Holy Spirit and then present it in their bodies. And then have them look around and see their temple as one of many different temples dotting the landscape, each one of them offering its own unique experience of the God who made it.
Cool. I like that. For Nature Smart, going back to verses 13 and 14, where things will be tested by fire, if you don't want to do the fire experiment from iSmart, then look up the ignition temperatures for the different materials. And we have some links in the show notes and on the worksheets, which you can find at our website, morethanhearing.org, that give you a place to start anyway for looking at some of the temperatures where these different fuels start burning. And you'll see that there are different temperatures for those, and different things will burn at different temperatures. Imagine that.
Wow.
For special effect, if you have a firefighter in your congregation, or you're friends with one, or you would like to become friends with one.
You might become friends with one if you do these things, yes.
If you tried the iSmart one. you might want them on hand when you try it. I don't know. But invite a firefighter or two to your congregation to talk about these materials and what happens if you have these different things burning, and what do you find in a house fire, for example, and what happens to the different parts of the house that are made of different things, and what survives and what doesn't?
For People Smart, we're looking at verses 21 and 22, and we're considering how this might apply to our current polarized political climate. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
So what would it mean for us to say that both Trump and Obama or Hillary are ours, along with life and death, present and future? Of course, Paul is talking about church leaders, so that's a little bit different.
Is it?
Or maybe not.
Maybe it's not.
Maybe it's not. And then that's an illustration. And then for a special effect, looking at verses 10 through 15, invite a master builder or a construction contractor, an engineer or an architect to comment on this passage about materials used for building. Or bring in blueprints for your own building or any improvements that have been made to your own building. Look at the foundations and discuss the materials that have been used. That could be really interesting.
It could.
Let's go on.
The gospel lesson for year A, Ordinary 7, is Matthew 5, verses 38 to 48. We're continuing on with Jesus' Sermon on the Mount and his list of things that you have heard that were said in the days of old. So we have several of those last week and now a couple more here. You've heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say to you, do not resist the evildoer. And you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, because the Lord sends sun and rain on the good and the evil alike. So you must be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. This should be interesting to work with. So we have for you four more of the smarts. Word smart illustration and special effect, math smart illustration and special effect, body smart illustration and special effect, and a nature smart special effect. We also have several others for each of the texts, but you'll have to go take a look at the worksheets and show notes at morethanhearing.org. So we're going to start off now here with word smart. Take it away, Molly.
Okay, Jesus says a couple different times in this particular passage, you have heard it said, which seems to be reinforcing in that repetitive way that we have from the Leviticus passage, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, I am the Lord, to pay attention to this one particular thing. So Jesus has said, you have heard it said, listen up to what I'm going to tell you. And so for an illustration in the idea of Jesus using this phrase a couple different times in this passage and a couple times in the passages from last week, is that sometimes we hear things so frequently, they start sounding like the Peanuts adults. Wah, 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 wah. So Jesus is saying he's offering those old standards, the what you had heard from another time, and he's putting a new wave twist on it. And a new perspective on it. And if you go to the show notes, you will see some links we have for those. The special effect, to make this a point abundantly clear, that Jesus is telling his disciples an old thing in a new way, you might try this. Say the Lord's Prayer, or sing the doxology, or both of these things, do them in another language, or in a different translation from what most folks are used to hearing, or in a different order, which would be interesting. Mm-hmm. And if you choose to do that, be really, really careful and be ready and make sure you've practiced it. I did a funeral one time and we had a bunch of Methodists or Episcopalians and they all said trespassers and trespass against us. And so I kind of joined in on that one without really thinking about it and then couldn't remember the rest of the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah.
So I had to fake a coughing attack. Or say those.
You might want to have it written out.
Yeah, exactly. Don't think you know it.
Yeah,
because you'll be surprised. Or you could do the Lord's Prayer or the doxology with pauses in between the phrases, or just basically in any way that upsets the natural rhythm, because that is essentially what Jesus is doing. He's upsetting the usual rhythm of what people have heard from once upon a time, and he's telling them something different, a new beat, a different key.
For Math Smart, we're looking at verses 46 and 47 first. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than anyone else? And so he's saying that, that's really very baseline stuff, and we can do better. So thinking of it in terms of math, Jesus here might be saying that our usual distribution of love and affection are like an equation like 1 = 1. Big whoop, who cares, right? Or maybe even 1 + 1 = 2. No challenge at all. Sad. So what he really wants to get us to is something more like a² + b² = c².
Ooh, the Pythagorean theorem?
Yeah.
Wow.
Something useful and something that reaches, more area. So there's an illustration for you. Another illustration, or if you write it up on the board or something, it can become special effect, would be in a mathematical equation, whatever you do, I think we did this not too long ago, actually.
It's been a while. Yeah, I know we have done this, but yeah. I can't think when we did it. But
okay.
Anyway, yeah, this looks familiar.
It does. Whatever you do to one side of the equation, you have to do it to the other side to keep it as an equation, to keep it equal, right? So if you have like a plus b equals 17 and you just want a on one side, then you subtract b from both sides. So you get a plus b minus b equals 17 minus b. And then a equals 17 minus b. Ta-da. And that's sort of what's going on with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You do the same thing to both sides. Now, of course, in the Old Testament, that was actually a limiting factor to
limit. It was actually a good thing.
Repayment of,
So things didn't get out of hand.
Right. Mm-hmm. But Jesus is saying that not even so much that. So he's changed it to a plus b equals infinity. So whatever you do to the one side of the equation, it doesn't matter. You still end up with the same thing on the infinity side. So a plus b plus 5 is still infinity. A plus b plus a million is still infinity. A plus b times 2 is infinity. A plus b times a million, it's still infinity. So as you consider your relationships as only a human equation, then it's a zero-sum situation where what is done to one side has to be done to the other. But if you consider your relationships as humans plus God, that infinity thing, then it doesn't matter what your opponent does, you still have infinity.
Cool. For Body Smart, we're looking at an illustration coming out of verses 38 and 39 about if someone strikes you on the right cheek, offer your left one too. And that is probably not something that's going to happen very often, particularly in things like football or soccer or hockey. Somebody smacks you, you're not going to let them try it again at all. So that's an illustration for our contemporary context. But for a special effect, Walter Wink has written an article, and here's a quote from that, that Jesus is not telling us to submit to evil when he says, do not resist the evildoer, but is instead saying to refuse to oppose evil on its own terms. He says, we are not to let the opponent dictate the methods of our opposition. He's urging us to transcend both passivity and violence by finding a third way, one that is at once assertive and yet nonviolent. So rather than meeting violence with violence or just rolling over and letting violence trample you, Wink is saying, Jesus is saying, no, you stand up to the evildoers, you stand up to the violence, but you don't match it. So this is an interesting thought. For a special effect in Body Smart, ask some volunteers to demonstrate the turn the other cheek as it is presented in this article. So you're going to need to go read the article to see specifically what he talks about that, because there's some things that are specific to the honor-shame culture of the era that make a lot more sense once you read that. This could be kind of surprising. And it could be really interesting to try this with some volunteers having explained the context. It's really eye-opening.
The backhanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So as a special effect, have some people do that. Or you could have some actors or some martial artists in your congregations who know how to do a fake punch or how to take a punch. Invite them up to demonstrate that. We have some links of how that looks, you know, actors who really know how to sell a punch that never, ever even connects with them. And you could also act out the other two verses where Jesus is encouraging going a little beyond. And these are also in Walter Wink's article, too, verses 40 and 41, about the context and the backstory. So you could have actors act those out as well.
For Nature Smart, looking at verse 45, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, he makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So this also kind of blends over into some iSmart here, but show some pictures of sunshine and some pictures of rain and invite people to imagine Imagine yourself, your best friend, and your worst enemy all together in that picture with the sun and the rain coming down.
And that could also be done in People and Self-Smart, too.
It could. It's just rich, isn't it?
It certainly is.
All of this stuff is. So
have fun with it.
Have fun. Well, that's it for today's podcast. Please ask questions or leave us a comment on our website, www.morethanhearing.org, or at our Facebook page, facebook.com/morethanhearing. Send us a tweet at morethanhearing, or email us at connect@morethanhearing.org. If you tried any of these suggestions, or maybe got an idea that you liked even better than ours, let us know what you did and how it went. We would love to hear how using this theory has made a difference in your preaching and worship.
Be sure to look for the show notes, links, and resources on our website. We publish our worksheets on each text, so you can see some of our ideas that don't make it into the podcast. Those also might be helpful or give you a spark. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast using the iTunes, Android, or RSS links at the bottom of the show notes. Or you can point your podcatching software at morethanhearing.org/feed/podcast. You can find us on the iTunes store, too. You can subscribe there directly, and you can support the show by writing a review, which will help others find us more easily. And of course, you can always share the show with your friends and colleagues. We'll be back with another installment next week. So in the meantime,
stay subscribed
and be smart.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This is a Whippet Good production.